Recorded live.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Virtual Talk Show, produced by the Head of Household. We come your way every Tuesday night from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can get more info about this show by visiting our website, householdstress.com. Listeners can participate in one of our live weekly talk shows by calling in or logging on to householdstress.com from your personal computer as an anonymous guest. Phone lines are open right now, but this show is strictly for men only. So call into the hottest talk show in America. Now, we have a couple rules, and they are absolutely no profanity and no politics, and more importantly, no racial stuff. This show is apolitical and race neutral so that we can make sure that any man can feel comfortable on our show. And furthermore, this ain't Bible study, fellas. We want you to just be able to come to our show as a man, and that is it. The Virtual Talk Show always presents the hottest topics for discussion, and tonight is no different. Tonight's topic is marriage becoming obsolete? Wow. My name is Rodney, and I'll be your pilot for the evening. I've got a lot of material, and the hope is that I can get this plane off the ground and ultimately land on a safe conclusion. This is a fluid conversation, so if you do have something to say, please feel free to do so. Or if you just prefer to listen, that's absolutely fine as well. But please try to hang on until the end because you'll definitely want to hear the conclusion to this episode. All right, with all that said, let's get started. You know, as much as people love a good wedding, more and more women are now saying, I don't need one. Women are either getting married later in life or deciding not to get married at all. For starters, we keep putting marriage off. In 1960, the median age of first marriage was 23 for men and 20 for women. Today it's 28 for men and 26 for women. Today a smaller proportion of women in their early 30s are married than at any other point since the 1950s. As a society, we're also marrying less, with a significant degree of change taking place in just the past decade or so. So, first question of the evening, fellas, is the media shy in expressing their disdain for traditional marriage? Is the media shy in expressing their disdain for traditional marriage?
I don't know about that one.
So you don't think they celebrate the end of traditional marriage?
Nah, man. They still having that bride's march, that shopping day. I mean, no, bridezillas. You know what I mean? I think that's a huge industry. I think everybody stands to gain. I mean, you know, you just talked about what you call a $10 million wedding. You know,
who was that?
What's her face? Is getting a divorce now.
Oh, Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think wedding is still big business. Media, weddings are.
Yeah, but you're saying wedding. I'm talking marriage.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, traditional marriage. And, you know, you just made a good point, you know, with, you know, Halloween yesterday, Kim Kardashian, Kim or Treat, you know, as they were saying, Kim or Treat on Halloween. But celebrities and athletes mock the institution of marriage essentially every day, you know, and, you know, that's a fine example of looks more to a lot of eyes as more branding, you know, and, you know, affecting the brand as far as, the road that she took as far as getting married and then getting divorced and having it all on TV. And now the divorce is played out and will be part of the reality show. But but do you think, do you get the sense that the media kind of celebrates and promotes gay marriage over traditional marriage or makes it an equivalent?
I think that they're definitely pursuing to make it an equivalent.
Okay.
Because we're hearing more and more of it. More on the open now. And it's not, it's no longer something that they're ashamed to talk about.
Right. Anybody else? You think the media celebrates and or promotes gay marriage over traditional marriage? Anybody else? Maybe not. Tony, do you think that it's okay for same-sex couples to conceive biological children through scientific and technological advances?
No.
No? What about adoption?
No.
Neither one?
Neither one.
All right. Cool. Anybody else? Anybody agree or disagree with that?
I don't know if I agree or disagree. I mean, I think it's, I think my personal stance is I'm going to go with Tony and say I don't think that same-sex couples should adopt children. On the other side of it, though, I see a number of children that deserves a loving home that's going to support them, and so I'm a little bit uncertain about that part of it.
Good words, good words. But do y'all think these changing attitudes towards marriage are just a fad, or are these attitudes about marriage here to stay?
I would say they're here to stay.
Why so?
It just seems that's the way the world's going now. It's not the same. Nothing is the same. Respect for marriage is different. The expectations for the union marriage is different. I mean, you know, somebody to get married and be divorced in 2 weeks, whatever that number was, I mean, you know, why do it?
Yeah, and when it comes, go ahead.
And it's borderline acceptable. You know what I mean? People are like, oh, well, and I'm just using this as an example because it's current.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, oh, well, she just likes men with a lot of money, and he didn't have enough cash on his contract, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, just the reasons for nowadays that are accepted for people to get married. Status, you know.
So when it comes to the idea of marriage today, what is considered mainstream?
Good question.
And that's to anybody. I mean, when it comes to the idea of marriage today, what is considered mainstream? If anything.
Not being married?
Not being married.
That's
great. Yeah.
I think that's the mainstream idea of what marriage is. It's just having some type of agreement, coexisting, having free terms to do and be with whoever you like to be with, as long as you keep the other person happy and allow the other person to be free and be themselves. I think at this point, the mainstream version of marriage right now is really that, not actually having it. And allowing people to still be individuals instead of working together. You know, it's okay for you to be you and to do what you need to do as long as you're happy. And if that means you're going off on your own, so be it.
But why do you think society in general is so scornful against traditional marriage?
I think society on the whole right now is really doing a big pushback on anything that confines you. I mean, that's anything that puts you in a box or labels you, or defines you in a certain way. And like if it confines you, that's not what's popular. No one wants that. I mean, you can't even really have diversity trainings at offices anymore because, the box has been checked by 55 people. What does other mean, no one wants to be in a box. No one wants to be confined. And when you take it a step further, why would you apply that to marriage? Why can't we just be in a union together? Why can't we just be two individuals and essentially just have a mutual agreement and just date forever? I mean, in some aspects, you hear people actually say that, I want to date you forever. I mean, okay. But you can do that and be married and actually be able to check that box that says married.
Yeah.
That's not popular right now. That's not hot.
Yeah, you mentioned coexisting and cohabitating. What about shacking up indefinitely without ever officially tying the knot? Is that cool?
I don't think it's cool, but I think it's becoming more acceptable. As the brother said, I think the cultural move, the societal move in kind of this decade is towards, I have the right to choose, and I'm going to choose, and I should exercise my freedom. And freedom looks very differently. There's a lot of freedoms that I want to exercise. I want to exercise the freedom not to be constrained in some people's eyes by a traditional relationship / marriage. I want the freedom to choose that if I want to shack up for the rest of my life, that's what I'm going to do. And there's actually a conscious effort to break what societal expectations are on individuals or relationships. And I think the institution of marriage has suffered greatly because of that.
Well, shouldn't we just acknowledge the end of traditional marriage as society's highest ideal?
I think that's a great thought. I think you still understand the institution of marriage. So there's the societal aspect of marriage, which is, and we said this last week, the legal aspect of it. I performed a wedding this weekend, and I was clear with the couple that I'm going to sign the paper because the Prince George's County says I have to sign the paper and you're legally married. As a matter of fact, you went to the county before you came and stood here at the altar to get married. But when you're standing at the altar, that's a completely different institution than what the county said when you went to the courthouse to get your marriage license. You're entering into a covenant now, right? And so, should I throw out what is the institution of marriage because of what, the individualistic freedom-pushing society? No, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Good words. But is the idea of monogamous marriage, you say you married a couple this weekend, is the idea of monogamous marriage, being with one person for the rest of your life, isn't that antiquated and unnatural? I mean, are most modern men and modern women simply incapable of committing themselves to one person for life?
I don't think the word ever gets antiquated. I don't think what we are called to do ever gets antiquated, right? Mm-hmm. I think, though, that because of the social movement, it becomes more difficult.
Good words. Anybody else? The idea of monogamous marriage, being with one person for the rest of your life. Is it antiquated, unnatural, or most modern men and modern women simply incapable of committing themselves to one person for life? Does anyone believe that to be true? Go ahead, brother.
I think initially the intentions are well.
Okay.
I think, though, a lot of people aren't prepared for what happens after year three, year four, year five, year six. Differences come in, and now you really have to work to keep it together.
Good words, good words. Anybody else? What about polygamy?
Really? Is that a question you want to ask a bunch of brothers on the phone?
Yeah, that's a great question. Y'all seen sister wives, you know. The brother got three, four wives. I don't know, you know. But, I mean, what about, you know, society's push on or acceptance of polygamy?
I'm thinking that's just a reality television show. I don't know anybody that's polygamous.
I mean, they might not call it polygamy.
Yeah,
right. Right, that's good.
I know a couple of brothers living polygamous lifestyles, but I think it feeds a part of the natural, I think, human body. It feeds, you know, the part of us that says, you know, I want what I want, and what I want is a lot of this.
Mm-hmm.
And this conversation is a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to have relations, and sometimes not the same with all the women, but, you know, I get this from her, I get this from somebody else, whatever. It feeds the body, right?
Some people believe, you know, if some people get real caught up in the Old Testament. I mean, a lot of the, you know, most famous people in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, you know, had multiple wives. So, you know, I guess, you know, some people's religious beliefs leads them to believe that, you know, maybe if, you know, if God didn't necessarily come out and completely condemn that behavior in the Old Testament, that he accepted it, which, you know, yeah, I guess is up for interpretation based on your spiritual belief. Other, you know, kind of what someone else said earlier is that in actuality, even, I mean, you can think anybody who's had multiple partners, by some definition, might actually have been kind of a polygamist, you know, when you think of it. Every person you've been with, and you know, by some people's beliefs, is your wife. So, you know, it might be a bigger deal than people make it out to be just because you don't, you know, sign that paper with, you know, with every person you sleep with. But in some people's eyes, that's the equivalent.
But does commitment and monogamy count for anything anymore?
I think it does. I mean, I think it you know, it speaks to an ability to deny self, to deny the piece of us that might, you know, look but not want to take that second look, or might take the second look but don't necessarily want to start thinking and, you know, want your actions to follow. I mean, being with one person and making a commitment, I mean, really speaks to an inner strength that requires each and every day. I mean, just, you know, as a husband, you know, working around, you know, other women and interacting with other women, it takes, you know, some internal strength to say, you know, I'm just going to look one time, you know what I'm saying? I say some, but I'm not going to put it to the place where I'm going to tempt myself to do something that I know that I have the natural ability to be able to do. Or even might, depending on how I feel, what day of the week it is, or what's going on at home, what I actually want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes some internal strength to say, you know what, I made a commitment and I'm going to stick to my commitment.
Yeah, good words. And you made a comment about working around women. I want to give you all a true false. True or false? America as a whole has a literal imbalance between the number of men compared to the number of women. True or false? America as a whole has a literal imbalance between the number of men compared to the number of women.
True.
True. Everybody say true?
Yeah.
Slightly true.
Just slightly true.
Slightly true. America currently has a healthy population ratio of 51% female and 49% male. But we know that not all men and women are marriage material.
Yeah.
But we actually have 51 female, 49 male. It's like a healthier ratio there. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, I think for real, I mean, short off, and I've worked at different places. I mean, short off, I worked in the jail for 2 years. Short of my working in the jail, I've never been in a workplace where there were majority male. I mean, I've never been in any institution, in any function, where there were more males than female, other than working in a county jail.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So even though there is a healthy balance between a 51-49% ratio, most of the institutions in which we interact, well, at least for me, that's true, are majority women.
Agree with that?
Yep, that's good words, and we will get to that a little deeper later on. But I want to get back to, I want to get to how women think. When it comes to how women think, are men gradually becoming an unnecessary accessory? You know, now that women are taking over the world, I mean, do liberated modern women need a husband as much anymore?
That's a great question.
All of them are great questions, brother. All of them are great questions. I'll read it again. When it comes to how women think, are men gradually becoming an unnecessary accessory?
Yeah.
I wouldn't give a full blown yes. I would.
Speak on it, brother.
And the reason I'm saying yes and no is because I think there is there's some females who at least portray the attitude that you're not needed and go home at night and they, you know, on the line with the sisters like, you know, when is the right one going to come my way? But the facade is, I don't need you. You know what I mean? I'm degreed, I'm paid well, I'm living well, driving well, and I don't need you. But, you know, the sister girl talk is, I just haven't found them yet. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, because before women needed financial security, but now they can take care of themselves.
No, but I so if we take away the tangibles, right? I think any woman that says, oh, I don't need a man, I can provide for myself, I'm liberated, that's an unhealthy woman, right? Unhealthy because, one, I mean, it's a natural balance.
Right.
It is a natural balance. So, okay, so you don't need my money because you're making enough money, making more money than I am, or you don't need X, Y, and Z from me, but, you know, you're whole emotional being is wired to be supported by a opposite sex. And the same thing goes for men. I'm saying, so yes, you don't need my money, but you need my presence, right? You need my, and I mean, I work around, you know, go-getters, you know, women that, you know, I'm shooting for the top and there ain't nothing going to stop me between here and getting to the top. Right? I'm not worried about a man. And every time I see him, I say, you know what? I recognize that you might be career-oriented, but there's something about your entire being right now that's unhealthy, that's out of balance.
So would you say, brothers, does marriage apply to everyone these days? Would anybody say that? Does marriage apply to everyone these days?
Yes. What do you mean, if so? They apply?
Should everyone be married?
No.
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 Because for real, what I said before, because some of us cannot bring our bodies under subjection. Some of us really are not at the place, the mental place, where we can control seeing something and going after it.
But I want to focus on women a little bit, you know, when it comes to marriage, applying Does it depend on where a woman lives in the world, whether marriage applies or not? Or does it depend on the lifestyle they want to lead?
I think on some level, not necessarily geographically,
mm-hmm.
but I think on some level, we all, women and men, at least in our mind, have some things we want to achieve prior to getting to that place.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to do the school first, I'm going to do this piece first, I'm going to do that piece first, and kind of, you know, check the box in a lot of places, and then it's like, okay, it's time. Now, again, I'm not saying that is, I think that's more of a personal mandate that we place on ourselves more than a, hey, the right one for me came along. Because the reality is that the right one can come along, you know, in 2005, but because you had this proverbial checklist, you missed it and then got hooked up into something later that wasn't for you.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, so we got to be careful with that because a lot of us had this proverbial checklist when I get this amount, when I get these degrees behind me, when the kids are out of school, when this happens, and all of these things are in place, then I'm going to make my move. Specifically talking about marriage, you know, and you may have, your mate that was designed for you has come and gone because you were so focused on, you know, I don't have time for relationships right now because I've got to do X, Y, Z. And then when you figure out or decide, now that I've checked off everything on my list and I'm ready, you hook up with his nut.
On that note, fellas, let me ask y'all this. Another true false. All along, just tying into what the brother was just saying. People who delay marriage to get an education or to establish themselves in a secure line of work have higher quality marriage. True or false? People who delay marriage to get an education or to establish themselves in a secure line of work have higher quality marriages. What do you think?
We'll go with true.
True. Anybody else?
I would
think it all depends on the individuals and the marriage. I mean, I don't think you can blanket it and say one or the other. I think where it would be difficult is if you had one person that had experienced life, had checked off many boxes, lived a little, traveled, gotten education, degrees, and all these experiences, and then maybe they marry someone that hasn't had that opportunity. I think that could potentially be a dicey situation because one has lived and one hasn't really experienced much at all. But I think, you know, if two individuals basically have done that, yeah, they may have some things in common, but I think it's all based off the individuals. I mean, if you're not inclined to work and you don't work at it, it doesn't matter how many degrees or how much education or how well you traveled, it's going to fail just like anything else.
Yeah, but I think in general, I mean, of course, every situation, you know, is going to have a different answer, just like you said. But in general, I think establishing a good foundation, and, you know, we all know monetary situations are, you know, a big part of a relationship. So I think, you know, if, you know, both parties have taken the time to establish themselves, you know, both from education-wise and from professionally-wise, you know, we all know there's more to it than that. But I would think you have probably a higher success rate than, you know, people who don't.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we look at, I was listening to ESPN Radio on my way home today, and for some reason they're talking about Kim Kardashian and her debacle, right?
Yeah,
they're well established, you know. Finances should not have been an issue for them, right? But we see when we look at especially celebrities, their marriage is, you know, averaging 6 months.
I mean, yeah, I don't think you can really count celebrities. I mean, we all know, you know, like I said, it's definitely more to it than just that. I mean, we all need our spiritual counseling. We all, yeah, everybody has to be in the right frame of mind. What do you mean? We all know, you know, it's about sacrifice. But I just think that, you know, the hardships that, you know, are going to come inevitably, especially in the economy that we live in now, you know, with inflation and everything. If you aren't established. You don't, you know, I mean, you don't have a nice workflow coming in, or, you know, you don't at the very least have a decent educational background. I just think your chances are higher. That don't guarantee success, you know. I mean, I'm not stating that, but I do believe your chances are a little bit better.
And you're actually right, brother. And I think the key is what the other brother was saying about when you have two individuals that delay their education and establish themselves, the statistics show that they have higher quality marriages and their divorce rates have actually been falling for the last 25 years. It depends on the individuals, but, you know, that's always the case.
Those are statistics you found?
Yes.
What about prior to that, when our parents and one person worked and divorce wasn't an option and the media wasn't in your business and it was all about family and all those marriages lasted. I mean, there was no 50% divorce rate then.
You finished this alert?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you got to establish educated or established really means. I mean, back then, yes, if the man had his education or the man, you know, had his trade and he could support his entire family, he was fine. You know, I mean, he's the sole provider, sole breadwinner. He can support his family. You know, on the same token, you have back then you had a woman who should have been and likely was, you know, getting schooled and home training. Domestic training, and, you know, they've been brought up and they've been bred to be, you know, a good wife, to be the nurturer. So I think from the same token there, you know, it was different, but, you know, you still had people who were getting their education or getting their trade, so to speak, and people just kind of knew their role. So you had a better chance of having a good relationship as opposed to, you know, if you had a woman who didn't receive that type of training from her, you know, from her mother or from her father growing up, and she didn't know what her role was supposed to be or couldn't fulfill what her role was supposed to be in the relationship. So I think it was the same thing, just different.
Well, I mean, I think that back then they kind of did know what their role was. I think, but then you didn't have to deal with the independent woman syndrome.
True.
Like we have to do now.
That's
with
true.
With the, you know, my wife makes as much money as me or more than me. That problem that comes into play. Because a lot of brothers can't get past that. You know what I'm saying? And then a lot of women can't get past the fact that they're making more money than their guy or whatever the case may be. So those are a lot of other issues that come into effect when I think you talk about that, the new scenario, Rodney, you were just talking about.
Yeah. How y'all doing, fellas? I just got out of class and I'm jumping in.
Oh, go ahead, brother.
You know, I want to hit on a point that he just spoke on.
Uh-huh.
Because I just came really. With
Are
the
you outside,
defendant.
Brother? Brother, you
yeah.
outside? Yeah. Go ahead.
With the independent section, that's where your relationship with that individual has to, you know, having that true relationship has to kick in. Because, you know, in that instance where one is making more than the other and the woman can't accept it, you know, the question is her relationship where it should be at.
But why?
Because,
go ahead.
I mean, because, like, for me, right now, I'm not working. My wife is working. I'm going to school. And we overcame that, you know, I think about 6-7 years ago, we wouldn't have probably been able to deal with it. But because of where our relationship is today and the maturity that we're sitting in, you know, it's not a problem right now because she knows that what I'm trying to do is an ends to a means. I mean, a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Different situation, bro. I mean, yeah, I mean, my hat goes off to, you know, I mean, to people like that. I mean, to me, I don't necessarily see an issue with a woman making more money than a man. I have an issue with men who exclusively let their woman take care of them. I mean, they just don't. They have a plan, or they just think that, you know, that's acceptable. So I mean, everybody has you know, times where, hey, you know, I mean, I might have to go off to school, or right now I'm not making that much money, or I don't make enough money to support, you know, my family right now. But here's what I'm gonna do to get to that point where I can. Right. It's not about who makes the most money. It's about the frame of mind people are in. It's about understanding that, you know, at the end of the day, it is still your role and your responsibility to take care of your household.
Right. Now, I do have a problem with a man sitting back and not doing nothing.
Exactly.
Just because he's a man. And he's going, well, I'm the man, so you go out and work. Nah, that don't work.
But, fellas, why are people so attached to the Leave It to Beaver style family that was made popular in the 50s and 60s?
Worked.
I said it worked.
Worked.
But, I mean, today, 2011, can American families really afford to live off a single breadwinner?
Yeah, you can.
You can?
Can, for sure.
The problem that we have in America today is not us being able to survive off a single breadwinner. It's us being able to survive without our materialism.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because if families cut back on the amount of things they do outside and start spending more family time, I mean, like, now we instituted in my house a family night where we sit down and we watch movies one night together.
I'm sorry,
we have a night where we sit down and just do nothing but do discussion. And it cut down on the amount of money that we're spending on the outside of the house. You know, we don't have to go out and do McDonald's. I do them at home, you know, type thing. But we've got so accustomed to being able to go to Applebee's, TGI Fridays, and all these other places. The movies cost about half a paycheck now. So, you know, if you're going to go to the movie two, three times a month, you done took a paycheck already.
But back in the day, I want to go back in the day a little bit further, and here's another true-false for y'all. Back in the day, women got married at a young age just to legitimize their sex lives. Back in the day, women got married at a young age just to legitimize their sex lives.
True
or false? True?
True.
True, true. Everyone said true.
True,
true. True is right. Yeah. It's true. True is right because sex outside of wedlock was more taboo back in the day.
Uh huh.
You know, but now
the only reason they were getting married, though, I mean, I agree that might have been part of the reason. I mean, that's too opinionated of a question. There's no way you know the answer to that. I just think that was the culture that you lived in, you know, back then. It was a means of support. Women, you know, they might have went to school, but they were not in general in the workforce. If they were, it was a lower wage job. So, I mean, it was a means of, you know, surviving. You probably had even arranged marriages, you know, back then. So I think that it was certainly, you know, it might have been a reason for it. And I definitely know that it was, you know, certainly considered taboo to be having babies out of wedlock. But I don't think that, hey, you know, once a woman, you know, reaches a certain age, they say, hey, I'm about to get married just so I can, you know, go have sex, you know, and have about, you know, five or six kids.
Well, let me chime in on that one. It wasn't exactly the woman that was doing it. Most of the times back then, it was the dad that decided at a certain age, my daughter getting married and getting out of the house. Main reason is because if she didn't get married and go, she was going to end up pregnant at home, and that was more miles daddy had to feed. Because remember, he was the breadwinner back then.
Yeah, and I was going to add that in addition to legitimizing your sex life, you know, folks will get married so they're going to leave home.
Right. Because a daughter wasn't allowed to leave home unless she was married back then.
Yeah, and in the 50s, when half of all American women were already married in their teens, marriage was almost a mandatory first step toward adulthood.
Yeah,
right.
Y'all are exactly right. But in today's world, has marriage simply become another step, maybe even the final step rather than the first step in the transition to adulthood?
Yep.
I don't think it's become a first. As a matter of fact, to be honest with you, nowadays when you look at marriage has become more of an option.
Yeah.
With the way society is today, because you have more people that are opting to stay single and live together than to get married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why more and more states have went to commonwealth marriages, because they know that, you know, you got these couples living together 9-10 years, and who's paying for it? It's the children that's actually paying for it. Because 9, 10 years, I ain't got no ring on your finger, you ain't got no ring on my finger, I'm gone. Well, what about your kids? What about them? They ain't got my last name. I'm being honest. I know fellas like that. I had a partner of mine that, you know, we had a big falling out because his thing was he would date a female, stay with her for about 5, 6 years, and be like, yo, it's getting close to that time, I got to go. I'm like, man, I want to time just like that. Man, I ain't trying to be tied down. I come back in about 3, 4 months, long enough to get the Commonwealth knocked off.
So you're saying that now that women are more financially independent, that marriage is more of an option than a necessity?
Yep.
Yeah, but I don't know if we can blame it all on the women, though.
Okay. It's not. It's both ways. But women don't have to rely on men anymore. Because you have women that make just as much money as well as more than men do. And they're listening to their friends, and they're listening to people all around them. Well, if your man, if you gonna have a man, you gotta have a man that can contribute. So if he ain't doing more than you doing, you got the wrong man. So they got this fairy tale about who they supposed to be looking for. I mean, I don't know very many doctors and lawyers that are men. I mean, I know a couple, but you have more females that are standing to get those doctorates and lawyer degrees because a prime example is my cousin. She's an independent. She's a doctor. And she has the worst problem in the world. She tells me, I can't find a man. What you mean you can't find a man? Stop looking in the wrong place.
Yeah.
You looking for somebody to be just as successful as you are, it ain't going to work.
But wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Do y'all think that women crave their independence more than getting tied down?
No.
I don't think so. Women always, it's built in their blood, man. They got to get married.
I don't agree with that. Yeah, I do agree with that.
I'm serious, man. I mean, you don't see it happen. You don't see it happen, but I think it's in their DNA. They want all women have that dream of having the white picket fence, the tall, dark, and handsome, and a couple kids running around.
And their independence.
And their independence.
I think this generation forced the independence on the women because we want all our kids to do better than what we did. We want them all to get an education and go to college and be independent for themselves.
Our kids.
Now we're just talking past here. You know, in the past, I don't think that's how it was done. But somewhere in between in our generation, that's what we were told to do. And now you have a conflict because now the women are taking that and the men are being lazy. There's more women in college. There's more women starting businesses. When there's more men slinging rock and being 40-year-old with your pants hanging down.
So yeah, would you say, fella, that does education play a part in whether or not somebody gets married or not? Does education play a part in whether or not somebody gets married or not?
What?
No.
It does if they get married for the right reason.
Yeah, because actually today 66% of people with a college degree are married, compared to less than half of those with a high school diploma or less. So, I mean, it's more people with college degrees that are married. So it seems like, as the brother was saying, you know, the more education you get, you know, the more, I guess, you kind of learn some things.
I think the student loans require two people to pay them all.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, I do think that the more education
one attains, I think the more likely that they want to get married. Then you have, you know, a sister like the brother just mentioned, his cousin, where she's attained a certain level of education, where in her immediate circle she might not necessarily be around brothers that are eligible or are interested, right? And I'm one of those brothers that don't think she needs to settle, right? Because I think a part of our responsibility, brothers, is to step up and do what we need to do, right? So you have a sister that's a doctor, you know, and she's at a place where she can't find a brother that can be a suitable fit for her, just, you know, just where she is personally or professionally, and then in terms of a relationship, right? And I mean, I think that I don't think it's fair for especially African American black women who are pushing forth and my brothers mentioned earlier that, you know, we have more women now in college. We see there are more women that are graduating from high school, you know, and going into post-secondary education and even going into terminal degrees, doctoral degrees.
But you might want to add in there that there's more women going towards different races. Interracial relationships are getting very large now.
I think that's a whole different issue. I want to ask a question. Do you think there are more professional women married or unmarried?
I think more professional women may be divorced. I don't know. I mean, I'm being serious. I don't know that statistic. I got to go and look it up. But
Rodney, you know it?
I'm looking here. Keep
that
talking.
That one of your questions tonight?
But I want to assume that more independent women who are getting higher up in their jobs are probably the ones that didn't divorce more.
Really?
Yeah, I'm assuming more professional women are married.
Yeah, well, I don't have the numbers on that.
There's a window, right? There's a window. For most women, there's a window. And the window's not that wide. You know what I mean? And just like somebody said earlier, when you delay it and you delay it and delay it, those options get smaller and smaller. You know what I'm saying? When you're fresh, you're looking good, that's when somebody says, okay, I want to put this ring on you. The longer you wait, the weight kicks in, the age kicks in, and you're busy picking and this one and that one. You got all this big long list of requirements for a man. I believe that some women, just like somebody said, may have missed their boat, and they're professional. They make money, but now they're home with no husband. And there's a lot of that.
And T-Hawk, let me tell you, let's take this example, fellas. Let's look at two very powerful women in our society today, the two most recent appointees to the U.S. Supreme Court. Does anybody know the two women that I'm referring to?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they?
Sotomayor and...
Sotomayor is one of them, Sotomayor.
Uh-huh. Sonia Sotomayor and Elena Kagan.
Yeah, I don't think Kagan like Van, though, but go ahead.
Sotomayor was married for 7 years, and she had an amicable divorce in 1983. So she's been divorced for 28 years. And as the brother said, Elena Kagan has never been married and has no children. But look at where they sit today.
Yeah.
Look at where they sit today. They sit on the U.S. Supreme Court, brothers, with no man.
With no man.
No man.
No contribution.
No.
You got the number one Oprah out there. I mean, she got seven.
Yeah, there you go. Oprah, I didn't even think about her.
Yeah, I don't think Oprah likes men either.
But I want to go back. I want to rewind a little bit and touch on something that P-Town was saying. Does race affect one's attitude towards marriage? Does race affect one's attitude towards marriage?
Yep.
How so, fella?
Well, I mean, I hate to get into a social argument, especially a racial argument. But I mean, if you look, in general at, you know, I think situations such as, you know, poverty and, you know, single parent households are, and, you know, lower education, lower paying jobs, they're more prevalent in, you know, minority, specifically African-American communities. And so you're going to go by what you've seen. And I mean, the facts don't lie. Statistics ain't going to lie. If you've grown up, you know, more so in a single family household, or not a single family household, a single parent household, I think you're probably more likely to, you know, do exactly what you've seen. So, you know, across different races and in different cultures, you know, I think the ones who are more fluent, I'm just going to say it, I think Caucasians are probably more likely to, you know, kind of see it as a, you know, as this this sacred ceremony that is, you know, ultimately necessary, you know, because it's, you know, it's they're, you know, just from an economic standpoint, they tend to have been more successful, and they've they tend to have been more educated. They, you know, some would argue they've had more opportunities. So, you know, their attitude towards marriage is, I think, is going to be different than, you know, what you would look at your the average African American.
Good words. Anybody else? Does race affect one's attitude towards marriage? Good words, fella. I guess he summed it up. Go ahead, T.O.
I mean, I think towards an interracial marriage, yes. I mean, it could. You know, you found someone that you like from another race, but you don't want to marry them because of what the family may think, so you just date for a long time. Or I think in that respect, maybe.
Yeah, and sociologists have long lamented the marriage crisis among the black poor, as the gentleman mentioned, and y'all also alluded to it earlier about how black women are outpacing their male peers more than in any other racial group. And roughly 70%, fellas, of black women are unmarried, and they are more than twice as likely as white women to remain that way. And those black women who do marry are more likely than any other group to marry down. And this is because, as the brother said, the high incarceration rates, you know, in 2009, nearly 1.5 million men in prison, 39% were black. Across all income levels, black men have dropped far behind black women professionally and educationally. Women with college degrees outnumber men 2-1. And in August of this year, the employment rate among black men aged 20 or older exceeded 17%.
So, I mean, but I think I would agree that race has an effect. In fact, you're yoking race with upbringing, meaning that African Americans have a certain way that they raise. I know I'm not, I don't want to categorize, but that's where we're at, that everybody raises their children the same way. But African Americans do have a different way of raising their children for whatever reasons. So I would say yes, that race would have an effect if we're talking about upbringing. Because I don't know if race just in itself, I mean, I agree with T-Hawk on what he was saying, but race just in itself, I don't know, I don't see the correlation. I know you're quoting the statistics, you know, and at the same time, how many of those brothers were married before going into prison? You know what I mean? As opposed to saying, well, they're all locked away and there's no good men out here. Or there's no men, let's just say, out here that, you know, these women were married at one point, or maybe are still, I don't know, you know, and some of them are getting married while they're in prison because of prison pals or what have you. Because of
prison pals.
It happens.
It does.
I'm a former chaplain of a prison, so this type of stuff happens in prison.
Yeah. But
married
to
ex-guards.
Yeah, and I give you another statistic, brothers. In 1950, 64% of black women were married, which is roughly the same percentage as white women in 1950.
Yeah, there you go.
But, you know, over the times, you know, times have changed. And
look at the incarceration rate, look at the professional rate, you know, and, you know, all those statistics that we were quoting, you know, as far as, you know, for African-American men. And what that's done you know, over the time span. You know, look at how many African American men might have been, you know, graduating from college, or even back then, even graduating from high school, you know, versus what they do now. You know, and I imagine you probably, I would imagine you're going to see a correlation. You know, I know it not to be the case that, you know, those, you know, your education or, you know, how much, you know, money you're making doesn't directly affect, you know, in some way, you know, how successful a marriage is going to be.
Yeah, let me flip it around on you, brother. If you're a successful black man, you're one of the most appealing and sought-after men on the planet. You know, your options are plentiful. So, you know, one might say, why marry if you don't have to? You know, if you got a guy that's dating several quality men and they got they in a good rotation, why rush into marriage?
Yeah.
That sounded real good, right? I mean, that's true, right? Some guy.
I think that right there. Maybe not everything that you said, but what you said is a strong reason, and I don't want to limit to one reason. There's a lot of reasons why probably these statistics are popping up, and
sure,
it contradicts, and some of the polls or whatever are contradicting each other, because there's real one rhyme or reason to it. But I think you just pointed out a good strong point, is that a lot of marriages are being based on quote unquote natural success, financial success.
Mm-hmm.
And or the potential to succeed. You know, everyone's not millionaires or whatever, but we do see, I mean, you got reality shows on here, right? The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or whatever, where you got, you know, 100 guys or whatever lined up to try to convince this woman or vice versa, trying to convince this person that they're qualified to be married to them and that they love them, and they don't even know them. All they know about them is that they're a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, so I think a lot of that is based on superficial things like that, where which I think leads then to the decline or the increase in divorce rates and things like that, because there's no foundation going in.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't call money. I concur with the whole foundation thing, but I wouldn't call money a superficial thing. I mean, I would not, you know, a woman who said, "Hey, I'm not marrying a man just because I know he can't financially support us." I mean, I don't see how anybody could really be, you know, be upset, you know, as someone who's practical like that. It is important. No, you don't got need to be, you know, a millionaire. And I mean, clearly, you know, most of us aren't. But, I mean, to go into a relationship, you know, is essentially, you know, I think setting yourself up for failure. As a matter of fact, you know, a lot of times when you go through your counseling sessions, I mean, those are the questions that I've been asked, that I was asked by my counselor, you know, is, you know, from an economic standpoint, can you financially support this wedding, marriage? You know, where are you going to live?
Okay, but I mean, so I get that. But I mean, if you get married at 20 years old, you haven't really begun any type of career or success story at that point. Although this is a rare one, but I'm sure it happens, maybe not to the extent that I'm about to point out. But, you know, you got someone like a Mark Zuckerberg who's 21 years old starting Facebook. And now he's a $50 billion man. Now, you know, I know that's the extreme, but there's plenty of people who start out at 25, 30 or whatever before they actually get a business off the ground and actually start making money. So if you wait until then, I'm sure she didn't miss her boat by then. He didn't pick up somebody else who's willing to exploit his potential. Right? You can't just wait until the person's successful and then decide to get married. How in the world would that person still be on the market? If they are, then, you know, that's suspect in itself.
I mean, there's a difference between, you know, I mean, successful and working towards something. I mean, you'd have to be able to financially support a relationship before you can get married. I mean, I don't see how it works. I mean, you're either going to have your own money, or you're borrowing it from someone else, or you're living with somebody else. So, I mean, I don't consider that, you know, missing the boat, so to speak. You know, if you're not going to be with this guy because, you know what I'm saying, he can't put diamond earrings on you and, you know, take you out to Root Chris Steakhouse on every week, yeah, that's an issue. But from a practical standpoint, if you're just saying, hey, look, you can't even provide me the necessities that I need right now, so, you know, no, I can't marry you. I mean, I just think that's practical. You're probably increasing your chances of, when you get married, it being successful.
Well, let me ask y'all this, brothers. Do you think men are more interested in a woman with good earning potential?
Hold on, Rodney.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on. And I just want to throw this question out there because I heard what he just said, but when does "because I love you" come into play?
Right.
When does "I'm marrying you because I love you" and we'll figure out how to work it out? I know you ain't rich right now. I know you flipping burgers, but I love you. I want to marry you and we'll work it out. Is that not practical?
Nope. That's not
practical. I mean, because you can have all the money and success in the world, but if you don't have no "because I love you," it ain't going to work anyway.
You absolutely need that, brother. I ain't denying that. But if you can't financially support a marriage, it takes money. Yes, you have to love somebody. Money can't be the reason why you marry somebody. But, you know, I mean, being able to at least be financially supported is a issue. I mean, that is something that needs to be taken into account.
But what if you're not able at the time you're going to get married to financial support the marriage? At what point, so I'm going along with the brother, says, at what point is it we love each other and we're making a commitment that we're going to work at life together?
Exactly.
Including making money.
Including making money.
I mean, where y'all living? You going to do that from the homeless shelter? I mean, you going to do that from welfare? I mean, if you two together are okay with that lifestyle, I think, you mean, well, hey, I mean, I guess more power to you. I think it's going to be problematic. But, like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with preparing for marriage. A part of preparation is from a financial standpoint. You know, just like while you're married, you got to be prepared for the day you lose your job. That's why it's important to be able to save. You're going to have issues if you're not constantly thinking, about financially supporting your family. And I think that starts before you get married, and, it continues on even after you get married. I mean, I can't be naive enough to think that, that's not going to be a big issue.
Well, let me ask you this, brother. Let me jump in here and just re-clarify. And whittle this thing down and ask y'all this on both sides of what y'all are discussing. Does socioeconomic status play a role in whether or not one values marriage or not? And what I mean by that, do the poor value marriage higher or lower than the rich? How does socioeconomic status play a role in whether or not one values marriage or not?
I don't understand.
Do the poor value marriage just as much as the rich person?
Yeah.
You're right. The poor do value marriage just as highly as anyone else. And, this erosion of traditional marriage that we're talking about here, and somebody mentioned it earlier about, the explosion of male joblessness in recent years and a steep decline in men's life prospects have sort of disrupted the romantic market, for marriage-minded women. So, you have women who are out there either facing, as the brother said, money is, you need money to survive in today's world, but, they have a choice between either a deadbeat or a player. It's not much, for them out there. And, the number of non-committing men is becoming larger and larger. But, y'all talk about money. Economic instability is more associated with marital distress now more than ever. And I think P-Town mentioned it early, the jobs loss. 7.5 million jobs lost in the depths of the recession were lost by men, making 2010 the first time in American history that women made up a majority of the workforce. Not just in management, a majority of the workforce. So going back to, income level and socioeconomic status, if a low-income woman finds a stable, employed man, she'll likely be better off by getting married, right?
Say that again?
If a low-income woman finds a stable, employed man, she'll likely be better off by getting married.
Better off.
She loves him or not?
better off financially? Yeah. I guess.
Does she love him or not? That's what that's.
Yeah.
That's the question.
But I mean, just to flip it around, just what the other brother was saying, what if she marries and he loses his job or is less
better
committed and responsible than she had hoped for? Then she may end up worse off than before, having
okay,
to support a man who can't or won't pull his own weight.
Okay, good. So
well,
now,
there's a difference between you losing your job and you're not willing to pull your own weight.
Right.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I mean, if a brother loses a job because of the economy downsizing, but, you know, he's hitting the ground and trying to make sure that he's, you know, contributing to his family, that's one thing. You know, the brother just sitting home playing PlayStation.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something else.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think we just need to, you know, when we look at marriage, I think if the brother loses, I mean, because we mentioned something back maybe about 30 minutes ago about, you know, distress that happens in relationship if the woman makes more money than the male.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm just at a stage where I didn't know that was still a problem. It's 2011.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, would you say that men are more interested in a woman with good earnings potential than someone they have to rescue out of poverty?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? She got to be. What if she's fat? What if she's a room stopper? You know, you walk in and everybody in the room stop.
and she's broke. She's not making.
Yeah, she's broke. Yeah.
No.
I bet you'd get somebody to disagree with that.
Yeah.
Y'all say that. But, I mean, are men more interested in a woman with good earnings potential? You know, than someone they have to rescue out of poverty? What do y'all think?
Yeah.
Yeah, for marriage, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
I mean, that's the difference. Let's consider earnings potential. Me, personally, if it's possible for my wife to be, you know, a stay-at-home mom and run the household, I'd love for that. But when you say earnings potential, she still needs to be educated. She still needs to have had some, you know, work experience. She still needs to have the capability to go out and, you know, and make money in the event and make, you know, decent money, you know, in the event that, you know, our situation changes or my situation changes. So, earnings potential and, you know, just, you know, outright, you know, I guess, you know, the professional woman are two different things to me, you know.
Can I ask a question on that,
go
though?
Ahead,
would the reverse be true? If your wife said to you, I'm making more money, I have a higher earning potential than you do, you stay home and take care of the kids and take care of the house.
Unacceptable.
Oh, why is that unacceptable?
I mean, like I said, that's just the way I'm brought up, and like I said, I do believe in the natural course of life. I just think that, in general, it's the man's responsibility to be the provider. It's a man's responsibility to go out and make a living. You know, I mean, it's certainly, you know, I think a woman is supposed to be there to support. It's supposed to be there to help. But when it comes to making money and, you know, and keeping that household, you know, together, you know, being the main infrastructure, I just see it as, that's the main responsibility.
Even if the woman has the earning potential to make more than you in your current state or future state.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. I mean, I'm not saying she should stop. I'm not saying she should stop working. I'm just saying, hey, well, you know, what if she gets pregnant and she, you know what I'm saying, and she can't work? Women are, in general, are probably going to be a little more fragile, more likely, you know, to get injured. Or, you know, if she has some type of nervous breakdown. So, you know, I've been a stay-at-home dad all this time. So now I got to figure out a way, you know, to go out to the job market. I mean, no, I just think in general, yes, it's okay if the woman's making more money than you, but I do think the man needs to be working, and the man needs to be working so that, you know, to grow his income to a level that if his wife doesn't do anything, they'll still be okay. He can still provide the bare essentials, you know, i.e. food and food, water, and clothes.
And I agree with that. I think the only thing you probably want to add is even though she's making the most money, you know, comes to shelter and buying a home, you still don't go get that $400,000 home because she's buying the money.
No doubt. I agree 100% with that.
Right, because, you know,
just like you said, if she gets hurt, gets pregnant, wants to become, you know, stay home with the kid a little longer, and then expects you, you know, your income, you still got to kind of balance that out. But, you know, so that has more money saved in the bank for hard times.
Okay, so, I mean, I asked a question to make 2 points. One, I think we, I mean, to hear suggestion that, you know, women are some women are fragile, they might get hurt. Brothers get hurt in the job, too. I mean, I think we just need to be conscious of that, right? The second thing is, you know, from just my perspective, you know what I'm saying? I'm from the orientation that, you know, I don't want to stay home. I love my children. They're two great kids, but I couldn't stay home. You know what I'm saying? I was not built like that, right? I need to go out. I need to work. I need adult interaction and conversation and feel like I'm making a difference both inside and outside the house. Because I'm like that, I don't expect my wife to stay home, right? She has just as much, if not more, education than I do, mm-hmm. and you know, she wants to work in the field in which she was trained.
No doubt.
Right? And so, you know, because I don't expect the reverse for her to say, you know what, I'm making more money than you, you stay home, then I'm not going to do that.
So if your wife, if you're making enough money to support the household and your wife said, hey, you know, based on our finances, it looks like I can afford it, I'd rather stay home and support our kids. That's not something that you would you would condone?
No.
Okay.
Kids are fine. Kids go to school. They come home. We'll be home in time to get them. You go out and go to work.
Yeah, but you know, you bring up a good point because there's always, I mean, I've seen it in a lot of families where has a good job. However, she has her kid and she wants to stay home with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And some there was conflict and then some there wasn't. They were able to work it out. But it's just like you said, you're still a man and you're still the head of household. The women can make those decisions. She wants to stay home with the kids, so be it. But you still have to be out there working. You know, look in the hood, you see men sitting at home drinking beers while the girlfriend's out there working at McDonald's just so he can stay on welfare.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look, that's what we're doing now. I mean, it's wrong, but that's why we need to have this call, because now we got young boys thinking that's the way to do things.
Yeah.
Good words. And with the dwindling options for women, do y'all think that women should just settle for Mr. Good Enough instead of Mr. Right?
I don't think anyone's that settled.
But I mean, looking at the numbers, I mean, it's, you know, we talk about education, you know, we talk about career. I mean, the numbers really don't look good for women these days, right?
It's all about options.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't necessarily go with the numbers. But, I mean, I get your point, and I know the numbers are there, and they derive from somewhere. But I think if a woman – I think sometimes women have – and I can probably say this about men, too, but I think men are a little different. But I think sometimes men or women have unrealistic standards that they want from a man, and that, you know, that just can't be achieved. Some things you just have to work together on.
Hmm.
And you know, I know a couple of women like that. As a matter of fact, me and my wife were just having a conversation about that with some women in my family, as well as some friends of ours that we know. And you know, I don't think they'll ever get married.
So do you think that women are making a big mistake by choosing to be alone forever? Is that a mistake if women just make the choice?
I don't think there's a woman out there that's
choosing,
that has chosen to be alone forever. I think the options, again, the options aren't there. Or they're too picky.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't think it's, I would agree. I don't think there's any woman that's choosing to be alone. Not at least not consciously choosing.
Right.
I think the way that she presents herself and her expectations being so high that I think subconsciously she's choosing to be by herself.
Yeah, just choosing to be an aunt
yeah.
or none without meeting all the requirements. But why is that a mistake? Like how could that, you know, if that's what they choose to do, is be alone? Like, thank you, brother. Talk about it. That's the question I asked. Yeah,
I don't get that.
I
guess I'm missing it. Like, that if they choose to be alone and not want to have any kids, then like how are they making that mistake? That's what they want.
Well, I mean, that's fine. I mean, you can choose not to have kids, but I disagree with somebody saying that they choose to be alone. I just disagree. I just think that's a smokescreen for something else bigger.
Mm.
And I could be
alone.
I
love my
but
kids, but my dad, you know, kids are heading.
Oh man, that's
the sign of a true father right there.
Yeah, talk about it, brother. Say it, go ahead, brother. Go ahead.
I don't want to say like bad, you know, anything bad about them. Like I don't want them. That's not it at all. But
yeah.
I mean, that's just the challenge.
I know, we understand, bro.
Yeah,
oh,
we got you. But on that note, clean that one up. Yeah, on that note, you know, we talk about kids with reproductive technology. Can't women do a lot of things on their own? I mean, if a man can leave what she needs to conceive a child in a cup, aren't men basically expendable?
No.
No.
Come on, man.
No?
You still need men to run that family. That's the problem in America now is that men are away from the home.
But P-Town, isn't it okay if the father's not around since it takes a village to raise a child anyway? Can the larger community or the government take care of them?
No.
Yeah, but that village is just...
You said the government?
The larger community?
I slipped that in there.
You're right.
Yeah.
There's one thing missing from that whole scenario.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to call your father.
Right. You're right.
That's the one thing missing from that whole scenario. If you can't say that, if you can say, I'm going to call your father, you got help. If you can't say that, you got problems.
No doubt.
Because we all know what jumps off when somebody says, look, I'm going to call your dad. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, but do y'all think also, you know, back to the choice, making a choice of being alone, being an aunt, you know, forever. The older a single woman gets, the less attractive she looks as a potential wife. The older she gets, the less attractive she looks as a potential wife. I mean, you know, she's 39. She's got a lot of ex-boyfriends. I mean, come on. Well, what's the cutoff, fellas? What's the cutoff? What's the age cutoff where you like, if you were in the marriage market, you'd be like, no.
Hey, because we go backwards, don't we? Don't we go for younger?
Pretty much. You know, pretty much. Because I think women are still programmed to look for older men with resources, while men are still programmed to simply look for that pretty young thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think to that point, Rodney, I think a lot of brothers have been talking about the standards that a lot of women have. And in this day and time, unfortunately, with the divorce rate, there are a lot of brothers out there that have been married before. And I know that's something that eliminates a lot of men from consideration for women. But, you know, with women looking for older men with resources, a brother who may have made some mistakes, may have been divorced, and is out there on the market, he may be a prime candidate for that woman that's out there. So, you know, but it all goes back to standards and personal preference.
Yeah, and women, back in the day, their standards were a lot lower, fellas, because, you know, they said in the late 60s, two-thirds of college-age women so they consider marrying a man they didn't love if he met other criteria such as offering respectability and financial security. Not today, right?
Not today.
Gotta have it all. Gotta have it all.
Total package.
Yeah. But what do y'all think about, you know, we talked about independent women. This might be a monkey wrench at 10:39. What do y'all think about women who opt not to take their husband's last name or hyphenate it? Is that a slight form of disrespect?
I have no problem with it, my wife ever not taking my last name, but the kids they gotta have my name.
Nah, you got to have my last name.
I can't stand it. No hyphens either. Can't stand it.
Exactly. No hyphens either. I'm glad that wasn't a point of contention for me, but I know people. I mean, because it's a mentality. I mean, whether you want to admit it or not, there's a part of you when you get married that you're supposed to be leaving in the past. And for the woman, you know, the idea is you're coming actually to the man's family. You know, I mean, you're starting your a new life with your man, and you're pretty much saying, hey, you are the most important person in my life. You know, I see it, you know, if my woman's not able to let go of her last name, she's not really, you know, really ready to take that full step forward with me. And the thing is, I've seen that and seen that be really problematic where, you know, a guy said, if you want to hyphenate or if you don't want to take give up your last name, I understand that. And that same mentality exists in the, throughout the rest of the relationship. You know, there's no... There's issues. There's head of household issues. It seems like where that stand wasn't taken at the beginning, because the woman isn't. I mean, the way I see it, you're not all in. So now I need to know. Hey, now this is my wife 100%. Your last name is Wooten, and I come before your anybody else in your life, including your mother, your father, your brothers and sisters.
Why is that such an important symbol? Like, yeah, why is
how society can't stand?
Say that again.
I think it goes back to, you know, for me personally, what I said at the beginning. You know, when you're not willing to take the last name or you want a hyphen, basically what you're saying, again, you don't want to check off that box that says married to the full degree.
Right.
I agree with you.
It is.
Right.
Something.
Me and my wife. Yeah. Okay. Me and my wife had this, we went through a whole lot of questions and do a lot of checklists and stuff before we got married. And the one thing we didn't bother talking about was that right there. And right before, and I say right before, I don't mean the day, but, probably within that week before we got married, the conversation came up. And I told her, I said, no, absolutely. But she's, you're taking consideration, or at least some people might take this in consideration, that there's four sisters in her family. She doesn't have any brothers. So she was concerned, you know, with carrying on the family name, et cetera, et cetera. And or at least that was the excuse that she was using. Then she said, well, I would hyphenate. And I said, no, absolutely not. This wedding will not happen.
My man.
Yeah, man. You are not taking on the full name. And we went at it. And so it got to the point where it was stressed. But, you know, she came around and she was like, no, I love you. Definitely ain't going to build a wedding away because of that. And then, she's like, I understand what you're saying. We do need to be one house.
Mm-hmm.
You told her you'd leave her.
I'm going to ask you a question.
You'd leave her, right?
Why was that such a big deal breaker?
They just said it. He just said you need to be one household. You need to be, one family. You know what I mean? I'm not
Amen.
The chosen Wooten. That's my wife's maiden name. We're the Wooten household. And, you know, to me, that's the mentality. If you can't leave that behind, that's an issue. To me, that's you're not willing to take that full step forward.
Yep. You don't hyphen dash. Hold on, man.
No.
Now,
you got to
know this,
man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you give one woman your ring. You give this also give this one woman your last name. That, you're giving her your last name, dude. Yeah, I mean that's huge. And for you to keep your own.
So my wife does have my last name, but it was never a conversation. Like, that wasn't a deal breaker for me. It was.
She could have kept her last name.
But you know what, brothers, I think it's a lot of tradition in this, and we are traditional people. And, you know, I know a lot of cultures, too, women do not take the man's last name when they get married. However, you know, these things are things that we hold dear to us, and I think traditions are a lot of what makes marriage work. And when all parties adhere to those things,
why a lot of brothers are just that's a deal breaker for a lot of brothers.
So I think that comment right there connects back when we started off in the first half an hour of the conversation, right?
Yep.
With the changing dynamics of society.
What
the priorities are, can the traditions that hold marriages together survive in the 21st
century? God willing, my friend, God willing.
Given all that's going on.
Traditions
can let's take a statistical vote. I mean, just look at all the superstars and all the famous people who keep their name and try to get married.
I have a guy that I used to work with. He actually just left or went on leave at my job. He took on his wife's, him and his wife kept their both of their last names and hyphenated it.
What?
So,
his last name is Spencer
Lindsay. And so I said,
that's two girls' names.
That's a liberated brother. Come on, man.
And listen, I said, what was that? Were your parents?
Sounds like a faggot to me.
Or something like that. He was like, no, that's my wife's last name. And I said, wait. When he got married, they both took on each of their last names, and their kids, both of their last names are.
Oh my God!
Who cares about the baby's last name, anyways?
To be honest, you lost me. Can you start over, please?
You want me to
get
it over?
I got mixed up.
Hmm.
Yeah. What was that? What was it? Woman was trying to take
two girls'
names.
The man took his wife's last name, you know, and hyphenated, so they both have the same hyphenated name. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Why did that dude drop the balls and man?
Yeah, they
still
had him in bad for
name,
years.
Huh?
He's a real cool guy.
Yeah, he's a non-confrontational guy is what he is.
He's very non-confrontational. He's very non-confrontational.
And I knew that before. You didn't have to say anything else.
Yeah. But,
with everything with these hyphenated last names and swapping out the names, or when you think about Hollywood, the reason why people do it is because they feel that their own personal brand or their self-identity is bigger than the marriage.
Yeah.
And that's what when... And that's why I'm gonna be honest with you. That one, if it had come up, it would have been a deal breaker. We wouldn't even gotten into discussion. It would have been a deal breaker.
That's why those marriages never work, because that copyrighted name, they don't get rid of.
Right. And I said that early in the conversation. The media and the way things are is people don't want to be put in boxes, and it's more imperative for people to have their own individual identity. Being an individual is almost bigger than and greater than being married.
Mm-hmm.
One is better than two.
So, given the traditions that hold marriages together, is what I'm hearing, right? Given the traditions that hold marriages together, can marriages survive in a society where being an individual is greater than being boxed into something?
I don't know if it can. I think what's going to happen is we're going to see some mutations, as we've already seen, of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the best way to say it. I mean, there are...
They're just going to see that divorce rate just keep going up and up and up, right, to a point.
That's right. I just don't see it happening, man.
Yeah.
I mean, some people think tradition is bad. I mean, it's not. I don't equate it as bad. I mean, I think, you know, it gives you a good foundation. We've seen what works in the past. We see what's not working in, you know, in this, you know, modern-day society. And, I mean, I think it's killing us.
Yeah. But also traditions were created some time, right? And I think a lot of times when we talk about tradition, it's almost like we're stuck in that time and we can't create new traditions now. So 50 years from now, the things that are created in 2011 will become traditions. Just like the traditions
there's
that we practice now were created some time ago.
Some things don't need to be changed.
Right. I mean,
let's just be honest.
You just sound like the grandma in the church that says, we just going to sing hymns, baby. That's all we're going to sing.
But, I mean, on that note, I mean, I think what y'all are saying is that in this strange, strange world that we live in, I mean, doesn't it present an opportunity to embrace these new ideas about romance and family? I mean,
what new ideas?
New ideas.
Yeah. The brother has a hyphenated last name.
Yeah.
Embrace that's romance.
Family. Embrace that. Embrace that. Well, how about that? Have y'all ever heard of Ashley?
I mean,
Go ahead. Go ahead, Rodney.
I was going to say, now even the world understands this concept. It kills me on how we can look at something, say marriage, that is really a religious event. You have something like marriage. We don't never see the importance of doing things in a certain order, but we can see this in the world. So we look at the world, and what they call marriage in business is called mergers. And whenever they merge or marry businesses, they don't carry two names. You come under somebody's name, and it's usually the person that's buying you out, the head.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hyphenated name. If AT&T buying T-Mobile, guarantee T-Mobile will lose its name.
Wells Fargo
bought out Wachovia. Wachovia lost his name. Southwest I'm gonna find out AirTran's gonna lose his name. That's
right.
The way it works.
What if a company has the best brand? Their brand name is out there. Not necessarily the company that's strongest.
No.
I mean, in general, most of the time, it doesn't happen. Sometimes the company that buys out the other one might actually take on their name, you know, just because it might be less tainted. But for the most part, it's the company that's getting bought out, you know, is going to cease to exist in its same form. It's got to warp. It's got to evolve into something greater.
But do y'all think?
But if we're going to use that analogy, right, and we're talking about tradition,
uh-huh.
I mean, each of us that's married, we didn't work for our wife's father for 7 years. We didn't give him any cattle. You know what I'm saying? We didn't give him any 500. You know. Pieces of silver.
and that's the difference when we're talking about tradition. That's why I'm not necessarily agreeing with you.
Rodney, this is kind of diverting off the topic a little bit, but I have a coworker who actually recently, the last 5 years, got married through an arranged marriage. She's from Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying that, you know, in her country, still a lot of the arranged marriages last longer than the quote-unquote love marriages. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, we talk about traditions, and that's a old tradition that's still standing with some cultures.
Yeah, that's good words. But do y'all think that in our tradition here in America that are more and more women just not ready to settle down? I mean, do some women just have trouble with commitment?
I think they just don't believe in the institute to some degree. Some women just don't believe in the institute of marriage anymore.
Well, Rodney, are you saying that?
I think that it's more of people aren't getting married at 22, 24 anymore. You know, they want to get through their career and have fun because there's more things to do than it was in the past. And then start thinking about marriage when they get in their 30s and close to their 40s now when the clock starts ticking.
Yeah, I was going to say it depends on part of the age bracket we're talking about, too.
But, I mean, do y'all think that a childless woman of a certain age, would you perceive that as odd, a childless woman of a certain age? Like a 40-year-old woman with no children, childless, never had children. Does that strike you as odd in any way?
It would be a little suspect.
Yeah, because since 1976, the percentage of women in their early 40s who have never given birth has nearly doubled.
Yeah, there's tons of women out there that don't have a kid. They'd rather adopt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a whole other issue. I look at that and I'm like, man, you know, you got women out here who can't have kids.
That's different, yeah.
And you can, and you're not.
Right.
I mean, but that
may be because they want to, you know, adopt a kid that's less fortunate. Could be wrong.
But Peyton, do you think that motherhood is a defining feature of womanhood?
I think to other women.
Absolutely.
I think definitely to other women.
No, I think, I mean, not only to other women, I think just in society in general.
Yeah, you know what? I take that back. I agree with that. You are absolutely. I'm in the people pretty much that are on any type of, you know, that are out there, that are leaders or whatever, even if they haven't had a child of their own, they at least adopt one.
Yeah,
and do y'all think that men marry a woman based on her perceived fertility? Like, if you know she's 40, it's like,
nah.
You don't have any kids. I mean, do you run the
risk?
That older guy probably would. I mean, but I don't think that's that.
I think men in general just looking, you know, I don't think that plays much of a role, to be honest.
You don't think a man, if he knows that a woman cannot bear children, that he will still marry her?
Yeah, that'll definitely put a change in things. I believe. I still think that this day and age will change things. If they knew that,
yeah,
that may definitely change some things up.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they come to an agreement of adoption, because adoption is getting real big. I think there's a lot of people who are finding out that they can't have kids.
Yeah, that's
later on in life, and now adoption is now becoming a big thing.
So yeah, but that's different after the fact. You married, you never had the conversation, you find out, and then that's the route you go. What was posed is, if you knew up front this woman that you're dating and contemplating marrying is unable to have children, would you still ask her to marry you?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question.
Yeah, I honestly think that would be a tough one. Some men would have to say, you know what, I'm going to need to walk around this lake once or twice, try to see if I can think this one through.
Mm-hmm. That's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny you say that, because I'm married to my wife now, and we made an arrangement. I mean, we have an understanding that we weren't going to have any kids, because I've got two of mine and she's got one of hers. You know what I mean? So if she was in a situation where she couldn't have kids, that may have put it, that even though we have the arrangement, that may still have put a damper on my decision. Because things change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Things change. And, you know, you may get, yeah, let's have another one. But then she can't. You know what I'm saying? So I do understand that question.
Mm-hmm. But do y'all think that women are trying to avoid marriage, with the hope of trying to avoid divorce? Because divorce is a painful thing, and, you know, I think somebody was alluding to it earlier. I mean, do you think that women are trying to avoid marriage with the hope of trying to avoid divorce?
Yeah. Now, that I can agree with. I think now these days they go in thinking that this may not work out.
What? Yeah, that's a...
Yeah. I don't think in the sanctity of marriage right now, in the stage it is right now, I don't think people know that they're going to get married until death do us part.
Yeah, that's what I was going with. I don't think they believe in the institute of marriage.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But if they choose to be alone, you know, back to the brother's point, they make that decision to be alone. Could learning how to be alone actually make her a better person and ultimately a better wife in the future?
What?
If she learns how to temporarily be alone, say, I'm going to just be alone. You know what I mean?
Just stop. Just stop.
Just stop. I'm reaching here, you know.
I know it's almost 11 o'clock. But
yeah, I need to get close. You know, I'm trying to get close, you know, to where we need to be. So y'all say no? Okay. All right. Well, have y'all ever come across a woman that you knew was married, but her status reads single on her Facebook page?
No.
I've seen some that are married and didn't put down that they were married on their Facebook page, which is the same to me. If you don't mention that you're married, that's just like saying you're single.
Oh, they don't mention it. Okay, I got you. I got you.
And,
yeah.
And you happen to know their husband. You know they're married, but they don't, you know, they just put relationship status. It's blank.
Yeah, right. They'll leave you guessing, huh? It's like, maybe she's not married. But I gotta close it. Y'all boys wild. But we talked about Mr. Right, But what about if a woman settles for Mrs. Right? Can women actually have an easier time in 2011 finding other women who might relate to their life goals?
Wow, I don't even know. I'm going to put mine on mute for a minute.
Talk to me, Ronnie. Don't put it on mute, brother.
I'm not going to touch that one.
We way past the adult hour, you know.
Well, it's funny, man, because I've had you know, about 4 or 5 conversations the last 2 days with young girls, late teenagers,
mm-hmm.
You know, young adult women that have gone through so many traumatic events the last 6 years of their lives that they have signed off on men, you know, and feeling like the only person that can understand where they are and where they need to go is another woman.
Mm.
And some of the situations are real. You know, some of them are, you know, I was, you know, and then they said, you know, I was raped by 4 guys at 13 years old.
Mm.
So I'm at a stage right now where, and she said, you know, I got over that, but I can't get over the fact that there were 4 males.
Right.
Right? So I don't know. I don't know that I would jump to the conclusion that, you know, a woman is going to find another woman to satisfy her needs. I don't agree with that. But at the same time, I'm dealing with, and I'm hearing from these young girls, you know, that's their reality.
Right. Well, let me bring it up to reality for you, brother. And let's say, for example, that you or your wife have a lesbian friend or a lesbian co-worker or whatever, and they're having a commitment ceremony, and then you're good co-workers, or good friends or whatever, or relative. Would you go to the commitment ceremony? And I'm not getting into to the legality of it or what state is it legal and all that. I'm just saying that would you go to the commitment ceremony? And, Rodney, you could take your phone off. You can answer this one, too.
No. Mine is no.
No, okay.
I'm saying no. I won't go.
No?
Yeah, I got a busy weekend schedule, right?
I wouldn't go, and I wouldn't go for two reasons. One, it's just my moral ethical stance. Two, it's one, I mean, I really do believe that when you get invited to a wedding, you stand as a witness.
Mm-hmm.
To help that couple through their marriage.
Right.
Right? That I'm not just going to sit in the ceremony and eat the bad food at the reception, but I'm going to say that I'm coming to support you on this big day, and if something were to happen, I'm a person that you can call to say, you know what, I need to talk through this. Or yeah. I'm going to be there, my wife and I, to encourage you through your wedding. So I wouldn't go for those. Yeah, 2 main reasons. One is just, you know, I'm not going to go. 2 is, you know, I believe that I'm supposed to be there if I'm going to be at your wedding to encourage you through the marriage, and I can't do that in a same-sex marriage.
Well, let me throw a monkey wrench at you, sir. And
well, hold on. I mean,
go ahead.
I was going to say, like, you guys are very deep. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just like, I'm just thinking, like if I was going to go to a wedding, like I never thought about that. That was deep. You said that you stand witness. That's true, and that's very true. You're absolutely correct. But if I was going to attend a person's wedding, like regardless who it was, if that person was a good friend of mine, or if it was like, let's say if it was a cousin or something like that, and she was very married, well, probably part of my morbid like curiosity, I'd be like, I would go and be sitting there looking like, wow, this is amazing to me. But I guess I would go. You know what I mean? But like, it's strange. I mean, it would be strange to me, but I think I would. I think I would anyway.
He said, y'all guys are deep. Well, I got another deep one for you, bro. You know, y'all talk about I would go. Now, how many of y'all have been to a wedding where you know it's 2 different faiths?
What 2 different religions really are?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I mean, you've been to that one. You know, that's the same thing, right?
Yeah, you know, and I've been the one with the same faith, and I knew it wasn't going to work.
Yeah.
I knew that.
I've been to that kind.
Yeah.
You're talking about, like, two Buddhists getting married or something like that?
No, Buddhist and a Muslim. Or a Christian and a Buddhist.
Oh, no, I haven't been to that.
Said,
I thought you were just saying, I've been to two people with the same faith, and I knew it wasn't going to work. I've been to a few of those.
I've never been to one with two people with different faiths.
Or one with a faith and one with no faith. Now, I know y'all been to some of them. I know you have.
Right. Well, when I didn't know.
I said face, F-A-C-E. Like,
No, face. No, faith, I'm sorry. It's getting late. I need to close this thing down. But I just figured I'd throw those two at you. But regarding why women are choosing to abstain from getting married, is tonight's whole topic really about the deterioration of men? I mean, the decline of the male species has obviously been bad news for us, but has it also been bad news for marriage?
Yes.
I mean, there's an incredibly shrinking pool of what are considered to be marriageable men, you know, that women are now contending with. I mean, it's a scarcity, you know.
Mm.
You know, you
How about
talk
the face of family?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
men are natural leaders. You know what I mean? Yeah, I think, you know, as the man falls, so does, you know what I mean, society, and so does especially the institution of marriage.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And do y'all think that, I'm going to really get deep. I only got about 15 more minutes, a few more questions. But does marriage actually grow us up as men? Don't we actually need marriage more than women?
I do.
Them other ones won't admit it.
I can't find my
socks.
I don't know where my clothes are.
Wow.
If I had to stay home with my children by myself, they wouldn't survive for a week. So, I would say yes. I think it grows us up, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it puts us to a place where even though, you know, we might struggle with the initial part of I am responsible for someone. You know, it's not my property, but you know, when I marry my wife, you know, I need to protect her when she's around me and when she's not. And if children are involved, then you know, you become the protector of your family. And so, yeah, there's some stuff that I just can't do anymore because I have, you know, a wife and two children that's dependent on me to provide for them and to protect them. Something goes down in the middle of the night, they expect daddy to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, yeah, for me, it has, you know, I've grown a whole lot over the last 10 years. Just naturally because of a natural progression, but also because of a marriage and a family.
I agree with the first part of what you said, Rodney. The second part of do we need it more than women?
Mm-hmm.
I have a slight problem with that one.
Okay.
And so I think for all the reasons that the brothers just mentioned in terms of the first half of that, you know, helping us grow into something more than what we are, help pulling out. Sometimes we need that individual, especially someone as close to us as a wife would be, pulling out the potential that's in us, someone who can see beyond the surface of an individual and get to your heart and see the potential and pull it. Yes, I agree with that in terms of the growing. But I think women need marriage for the same reasons, just as important as a man needs it.
Hey, guys, I'm happy to get off, man. I just want to let y'all know I appreciate y'all, cats. I'll see y'all next week.
All right, brother. Thanks for joining.
Right.
Let me ask you this, Rodney. Does marriage demand more negotiation and relationship skills than in the past? Does marriage demand more negotiation and relationship skills than in the past?
Yeah. I would have to say yes, although I didn't live in the past. But
yeah.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Okay. Let me just bring this. Go ahead.
I was going to say, because I think there was less communicating being done in the house just by looking at, you know, thinking of my own parents' relationship. Even to today, I mean, they've been married 56 years now. And looking at the relationship today and hearing what it was like back in the day, that they don't communicate a whole lot, you know. It's just they probably know each other too very well now. There's not a whole lot of communication needs to be done. But the one key factor, I think my dad said at his 40th, I think, anniversary, we asked him jokingly, you know, what makes the marriage work? And my mom gave a nice little, made-for-TV answer, and then my dad simply said, we stay away from each other. That's how we keep it together. And he meant it, even though, you know, everyone laughed. He meant it. We knew that. The kids knew that. But, yes, I think there was less communication back then. I think the roles were more defined than what they are today. So now you have to talk. You have to communicate. You have to negotiate. You have to have some type of skill set to even try to figure out where you fit in the house, in some cases.
Yeah.
Not everyone's.
Now, do y'all think that falling in love and getting married is less a matter of choice and more of a matter of a good luck? Is falling in love and getting married less a matter of choice and more of a matter of good luck?
That's always a choice. So I was looking for someone else. I'm waiting for someone else. I don't know about that old luck thing, but it's always a matter of choice. You choose. I know people say, well, you know, God gave me my wife. That's fine. He gave it to you, but you chose her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at the end of the day, this is a little smidgen of luck.
I like it.
yeah, because you just want to be lucky. You just want to hang around long enough for that representative to be. And you'll be lucky if the representative is who they say they're going to be.
Yeah.
That's where the luck comes in.
Yeah, good words. And just bringing this thing on down here, is marriage becoming obsolete? Poll released last fall, 40% of Americans believe that marriage is becoming obsolete. And that's actually up from 28% in 1978. And roughly 1 in 4 unmarried Americans say they do not want to get married. Now, we've talked extensively about women tonight, but do y'all think that men believe that marriage is slowly becoming obsolete? And what I mean by this, fellas, is are the men that are out here dating really looking for a serious relationship? And I'm not talking about married men, but are the men that are out here dating, some of y'all get that tomorrow, Are the men out here dating really looking for a serious relationship, or are they just, you know, ducking and dodging, sticking and moving, you know? Or are they really serious and mature about looking for a wife?
I think a lot of guys out here, man, are almost like playing a lottery. Like, they really don't think they're going to win, but if they do, then, you know, they'll happily accept it.
Gotcha. And I know that family is important to each one of y'all. That's the reason y'all keep coming back week after week and still hanging. After 11, I'm almost done. But here's a question for you. How would you
rate yourself? Let me, if I could, just give you the obsolete question. I think a lot of, if it is becoming obsolete, and I'm not saying yes or no, but I think if it is becoming obsolete based on polls or whatever, I think there's a lot of factors to that. One, obviously, is the higher divorce rate. Most individuals that you meet in their later 40s, if you meet a woman and or a guy, for that matter, probably in their later 40s, have been married probably at least one time. And I have no poll numbers to back that up. It's just based on my own polling of family and friends and people that I've met that they've been married at least one time. But, you know, I know most people have been married 2 or 3 times. Not wrong or right. It just is what it is. That, you know, you got that factor. You got now with gay marriages, being on the rise in more states and places allowing that to take place, and church accepting gay bishops and different things going on like that. I think some people just feel that the institute of marriage, again, is very watered down and doesn't mean much, or doesn't mean as much as it used to mean to society. And I think, so if it is becoming obsolete, I think it's for those reasons and probably others.
Great words, great words. And I want to briefly talk about family before I get y'all out of here. We'll flip it over to open mic. Family is important to each one of y'all, but how would you rate your family life? Are you satisfied or unsatisfied? How would you rate your family life? Are you satisfied or unsatisfied?
Those are your two options?
Yeah, pretty much, bro.
Is there a middle option?
Wow, this guy. How would you rate it, sir?
If I had those two options, I would say satisfied. You know?
Okay. Well, you kind of in the middle.
I'd say satisfied with a little asterisk on there.
Gotcha. So I'm assuming that the rest of them are satisfied as well, since they didn't say anything.
He's talking about family life.
Can I add in a little?
Huh? Go ahead.
Can I add in a sub line?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would say satisfied, but needs improvement.
That's good.
And I'm just saying why, because, you know, I'm learning too. I'm 13 plus years in the business, and what I've learned is that, you know, it's a drastic change. The older you get, the more planning you're going to have to do, the more adjustments you're going to have to do. And I think for some people that is just hard because they're not used to planning and making adjustments and changes. They want to stay who they are. And in order for marriage to work, I'm learning that that's not the fact, that because this is who I am now, it's not who I'm going to be 3-4 years down the line. And it's not who 3-4 years down the line my wife wants me to be. She wants me to be better than I am right now. And so it's hard work because you got to work on yourself. And not only work on yourself, you got to plan for your family. And I think that's where marriage hits the, you know, that bump in the road, is that we don't take that in consideration. We just think, oh, we married, we do things together, we're going to go out, you know, we're going to have fun, we're going to communicate. But they never look at the I factor, which is you, when you look in the mirror, on how much you're going to have to change. And then that's how your woman follows you and your family follows you. It's the footsteps that you paved the way, because, you know, you're literally in the brick wall and you're like digging through the dirt day by day to make sure you're making that proper path for your family.
Good word.
And I'm just learning that, fellas. I'm just being honest with you. It took me a while because, you know, I've been screwing up a little bit lately here, so these calls have been helping.
Good words. And 3 out of 4 Americans polled say family is the most important, meaningful part of their life. And 3 out of 4 Americans polled said they're very satisfied with their family life. So we have a lot of challenges, fellas, but this is really comforting news. But would y'all say, looking at your marriage, would you say your marriage is closer than your parents' marriage? Would you say your marriage is closer than your parents' marriage?
Mine is very close because my parents weren't married.
Oh, your parents were not married, okay.
Yeah, they weren't married at all.
Yeah, closer.
I would say,
you know,
I'm going to first brother. My parents weren't married, so.
Yeah. Go ahead, somebody else is talking.
I said, now you know I better say yes after what I just said about my parents.
That's good. And then in that same poll, Rodney, 80% say their marriage is as close or closer than their parents' marriage. So, you know, we're good. But does society's attitude towards marriage trouble you at all? You know, they say love is blind. but marriage is an eye-opener. They also say that love is blind and marriage is an institution for the blind.
You did some good research this week, man.
But I mean, you know, whatever happened to, you know, companionship, you know, having someone to truly grow old with? I mean, does society really, do they think that way when they talking about marriage? I mean, we talked about, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Kardashian. He might as well have took her last name. But, I mean, does society's attitude towards marriage trouble you at all?
Sure. Oh, it doesn't trouble me, but I can see where it would trouble individuals who are looking to get married.
Right. Yeah.
I also think that the marriages that we see publicized on television,
mm-hmm.
right, are so far removed from the reality of your marriage.
Mm.
Right? So it's almost like, I mean, I agree with the brother said, I mean, for somebody that's looking to get married or looking for somebody, I can see how that affects them. But if you are in a relationship and you know for real, that's, you know, we're living nothing like Kardashians.
Right.
That's not, you know, it's not a made for TV show. Right. Then I don't think it has as big of an impact on your individual marriage.
Good words.
And I don't want to believe that people marry with hopes of not making it. I think that we all have good intentions. I think that even society has good intentions to get married and stay married. It's just the lack of marriage education, the lack of whatever else that they don't have, or knowing their roles in the household really comes to light, and then that's what causes the issues. But I think that even society says we're going to marry and our intention is not to get divorced.
Good words. What do y'all think, and I'm almost done, I promise, what do y'all think today's children would say about marriage? What do y'all think today's children would say about marriage?
Not interested.
Not interested. Anybody else?
Why?
Okay. Well, I've got a clip. I've got a clip. 30 seconds clip, fellas. It's late in the evening. Of what some kids say about marriage. And this is actually pretty funny, but check this clip out. 30 seconds. Women have climbed higher and higher, while men have been falling further behind. We talked about that. This year, 2011, women have become the majority of the workforce for the first time in U.S. history. This unprecedented role reversal is well underway, along with its vast cultural consequences. So here's the question. When it comes to relationships and marriage, have women basically begun to think like a man? Have the gender roles been completely turned upside down?
Absolutely.
Speak on it, fellow.
Just based off everything you just said, even earlier in the conversation, that they are able to be the breadwinners and the way that society is just made up now. Like we were talking about earlier, just a second ago, about the fact that the man protects the house. I mean, a woman can get a gun now, you know. I mean, you don't need that the male to do those things anymore. I mean, a lot of things you don't, you know. So, yeah, women are thinking more like men. That's probably what some of the problem is.
Rodney, can you repeat your question? Sorry, I dropped off by
accident. Sure thing, brother. I said when it comes to relationships and marriage, have women basically begun to think like a man? Have the gender roles been completely turned upside down? That was the question at hand.
Okay. With all the cheating and stuff that's going on, I would have to.
Well, let me ask it another way. Has anybody ever heard of Gloria Steinem? Gloria Steinem.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was an American feminist, journalist, social, and political activist who became nationally recognized as a leader of and media spokeswoman for the Women's Live movement in the late 60s and 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, during that time period, she was quoted as saying this: women were becoming the men they want to marry. Was she right? Are women basically becoming the men they want to marry? They got the career, you know, they can do it all. You know, I'm getting deep on you.
That's a pretty deep question. Yeah, that is a deep question. I'll give that one to you, Rodney.
I just hope it's not the other way around.
Well, you got these young boys.
As the brother said, changing the hyphenating the last name and, you know, taking on the last name. Maybe, Tony.
I just hope that men aren't becoming the women that they want to marry. You know?
Right.
Yeah. That's good. But she said this in the late 60s and 70s, fellas, that women were at that time becoming the men they wanted to marry. Women's Lib movement.
I know my wife isn't like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because if she was, if my wife was a man, or at least trying to be the man, she'd be one sorry husband.
But I oftentimes do see a version of that in the workplace,
mm-hmm.
right, where you have women that are, you know, directors, vice presidents, presidents that take on more masculine approach to their job, mm-hmm. right, because they feel they're in the position to do so, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I see some of the characteristics that they have adopted very much model the things that are attracted to them in the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm.
So they become aggressive go-getters because that's what they want to see in a man. That's what attracts them to a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I see a lot of times, and you know, Gloria was talking, and as it relates to, you know, women workplace and what the movement was pushing for, right? I definitely see it.
Mm-hmm. And the current state of the traditional familial institution is very weakened. So shouldn't we just come to grips and accept the variety of families in the modern world sooner than later? Shouldn't we just accept this stuff that's going on? Everybody be happy.
you know.
Depends on what results you're looking for.
Hmm. Well, let me ask you this, and this is my final question. And this is to anybody. If you happen to be single and back out on the dating scene today, and the woman you were exclusively dating was honest with you and just came out and said, you know what, I really like you and I want to continue to be with you for the rest of my life, but I don't want to ever marry you, would you be cool with that? If she just was honest and just say, you know, we just can be cool, just kick it, you know, to the end of time, grow old together, but we're not ever getting married. Would you be cool with that?
Jackpot.
You said a jackpot?
He said jackpot.
Yes. Wow.
I could do it. But you know what? I'm still trying a hard time getting past if I was single again, because then my mind went back to, you know, being in the clubs and stuff like that, and I can't even see that. I wouldn't even want to be single in this day and age, or at least maybe not the age that I am.
All right, yeah. You want to go back and be 20 in 2011, right?
Yeah. Look at this old dude coming up in this way. With them old dance steps and all that other
stuff. Right. But I mean, with that question, T-Hawk said it hit the jackpot, but would your answer be the same? If she also wanted to have kids with you?
No. I don't think, to be honest with you, I mean, we joking a little bit, but I don't think men can be alone. And then I don't think they will feel right after a while. Older you get in age, being single, just having that single title.
And I think that goes back to the question I think that Rodney asked before, which was really is marriage for the women or for the men, right? I think I paraphrased your question, but
I
agree with you, brother. I mean, I think the older you get, you just say, you know what, I'm gonna need to wake up with somebody. I'm gonna need, you know, to take this life journey, you know, with somebody. Now, the final question that you ask about, you know, would it be cool if she just says, look, we'll be together, but we just won't get married. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a piece of me that like, all right, am I not good enough to marry? There's just the kind of selfish piece of me. But I don't think I'll be cool with that. Because I would feel, and we talked about this earlier, I would feel that there's something that you're holding back.
I don't really know if we would really pay. I don't know if I'd pay a lot of attention to that, honestly.
Yeah.
We are natural hunters.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And you say you don't want to get married. You say you want to hang out. Yeah, whatever. You're going to marry me.
Yeah.
You know, if it comes to that. I don't think that would stop any one of us on this phone. We know.
Yeah.
If we want it, we're going to get it regardless.
Yeah. Good words. And the truth is, as an institution that regulates people's lives, marriage is no longer the social and economic necessity that it once was. So often we hear statistics about the divorce rate is 50%, but everybody seems to forget that means the other 50% are staying married. Empirical evidence continues to reveal that married people are happier, they live longer, they enjoy better health, they make better parents, their children do better in school, and their children end up doing better as adults. Children who grew up amidst the disorder that is common to single parent homes tend to struggle, but the good news is that family still matters to most Americans, even to those who aren't married. But the question of what the Bible says about Christian believers never marrying is often misunderstood. In 1 Corinthians 7, chapter verses 7 and 8, Paul said, some have the gift of singleness and some have the gift of marriage. Although it seems that nearly everyone marries, it's not necessarily God's will for everyone. Paul, for example, devoted his entire life to spreading the word of God. He wouldn't have been such a useful messenger if he had to worry about the extra problems and stresses that come with marriage and/or family. On the other hand,
Some people do better as a team, serving God as a couple and a family. Bottom line, fellas, both kinds of people are equally important. It's not a sin to remain single, even for your entire life. The most important thing in life is not finding a spouse and having children, but serving God. Singleness should not be viewed as a curse or an indication that there's something wrong with that single man or woman. While most people marry, while the Bible seems to indicate that it is God's will for most people to marry, a single Christian is in no sense second class. As 1 Corinthians indicates, singleness is, if anything, a higher calling. As with everything else in life, fellas, we should seek God for wisdom concerning marriage. Following his plan, whether that be in marriage or in singleness, will result in the productivity and joy that God originally desired for you. That concludes our show for the evening, fellas. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of our virtual talk show brought to you by the Head of Household. We hope that you enjoyed the show. You can join us again next Tuesday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And next week's topic will be... to be determined. For more information, please feel free to visit our website, householdstress.com. Website again, householdstress.com.
You are now free to move about the country.